Hi, welcome to Howling Talent, the podcast that sheds light on human and animal talents in all fields. I'm Anna Roy.
And I'm Yvonne Dagger. Let's get howling. In this episode, we are happy to welcome Katie Brown to our podcast. Katie is a yogi, counselor, dog mom, and author of her most recent book, Peaceful Pause. And in her own words, she says that she's on a mission to help humans and dogs relax.
Welcome to Howling Talent, Katie.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
You work as a professional writer, not only for publications, but also as a newspaper journalist, health writer, and National Women's Magazine's editor.
That's my background. Yeah.
Perfect. That's pretty impressive. I've got a journalistic background as well, so I know what's involved.
Fantastic. Yeah.
So when did you start writing? Was it a hobby, just something that came naturally to you?
I always loved writing, and I decided I wanted to be a newsreader when I was much younger.
Nice.
And I thought, oh, how do I do that? So I ended up becoming a journalist, and this was when I lived in the UK. So I did newspaper journalism. I did a degree in communications, and then I worked on National Women's Magazine in the UK called Take a Break, which was like true life stories, which I've always loved people's stories because I think everyone's got such fascinating stories. And then I did some backpacking for kind of working backpacking for a couple of years, and ended up in Australia and worked on a national magazine over here, similar true life stories, that kind of thing. And then it was a full-time or nothing kind of job, unfortunately. And after I had my first child, I ended up going freelance. But I found my yoga, because it obviously was fairly intensely stressful with deadlines and things like that. So I started doing yoga, and I just loved the way it helped me feel calm and cope with, you know, all of the life pressures that were being thrown at me. And so I ended up doing a yoga teacher training course. But when I lost my job in journalism, I started teaching yoga and freelancing at the same time.
And was it something that you did solely for your own well-being, or did you foresee it being a benefit to others? Did that cross your mind at the time?
I ended up falling into the teaching course by accident, really, because one of my fellow journalists was telling me about it, and it looked good, and I was a bit of a course junkie. I'd actually done an aerobics instructor course when I was in the UK, and the only thing I liked was the relaxation at the end, and and I did a massage therapy course there as well, and I only liked receiving the massages, not really giving them, so yeah. So then when my friend said, oh, I'm going to do this yoga teaching course, and I loved yoga, I thought, oh, you know, I'll just do that because I'll find out more about yoga beyond what you actually learn when you go to a class. And then she ended up not doing it, and I found myself kind of enrolled in it on my own. It was actually the best thing I could have done. I'd only recently arrived in Australia, and my parents were going to come and emigrate too because I'm an only child. And then my mum got very sick with cancer. And while I was doing the course, which spanned a year, while I was working as well, my mum actually, it was terrible. She got much worse, and she ended up passing away. But if it hadn't been for my yoga at that time, I don't know how I would have coped. So that's how I, and then when I ended up soon after fell pregnant, then I ended up discovering as well how wonderful yoga was, and thinking that, you know, I need to share this knowledge that I've gathered, and it just sort of happened like that. It was kind of natural. I started teaching and freelancing and being a new mum and all that kind of stuff. All came together.
Yeah, you were busy.
I'm someone who, I do tend to like to be busy, really. And so Yeah, I just kind of juggled it. But I actually wrote my first book then, and it was called Mother Me, and it was all about becoming a mum because I did have postnatal anxiety. Obviously, there were a lot of pressures. I was the other side of the world. My world had kind of fallen apart. I'd lost my job. I'd lost my mum. And so again, it was leaning into the yoga and actually the massage. So I don't know if you can hear Minty's kind of my Springer Spaniels grunting and snuffling a bit in the background, but
They're
yeah,
very quiet.
it's all
Yeah,
good.
I don't hear it.
But yeah, I ended up writing Mother Me because I had lent into the practices and I found them so beneficial. Again, I guess it was just a case of sharing it with others. And I guess that's why I've kind of fast forwarded to the point of where I'm now just written Peaceful Pause because it's been a journey and it's been practices that I've kind of seen have been so beneficial for me, for my dog, for my family. Yeah, and again, just sharing it all really.
How many books have you written so far?
Oh, I did, and now I've written more books than I've had babies, which is insane. And it's like the first one, I said, I'm never going to do this again. And then I did another one, so
Absolutely
yeah,
fabulous.
I have 3 children and I have 5 books. So, yeah.
Oh, that is
Yeah.
congratulations. That's wonderful.
Thank
What
you.
inspired you to adapt human yoga moves, relaxations, and strokes for dogs? And when did you
Yeah.
eventually begin implementing them?
It's interesting actually because I also one of the other things I do is I'm a baby massage therapist and I'm a massive animal lover, dog lover. I also love cats too, actually. We've got 2 rescue cats and we've got Minty, our Springer, who's now scratching at the door. Minty, come here. And talking about you. yes. And so
So cute.
it, we Minty it, we've had dogs previously, but Minty came to us just before COVID. And we'd actually previously lost our last dog, and we'd ended up doing a lot of dog sitting because we couldn't bear to get another dog. And then we'd looked after a friend's Springer Spaniel, and we'd just fallen in love with her. And then I kind of contacted the breeder, and it just so happened he breeds Springers for the government. And he'd had this one particular dog that just hadn't been selected and was a bit of a sorry little mess. He was like, I don't know what to do with her, and she probably would make a really good family pet. And so we went, yeah. And she was really, really nervous. And so I guess when I first got her, I started doing some of the baby massage strokes on her, and she loved them. And then it kind of evolved because then COVID happened, and I actually had to take all my yoga classes online. And whereas she hadn't been allowed kind of in the studio before, I've got a little home studio. She was welcome with arms open, and she had a little dog mat in there right beside me. And I just noticed that she really loved it. She just got so excited when it was yoga time, and she'd just lie beside me. But she really loved the relaxations at the end. And also I was then noticing all the other people in the class, all their pets were coming, and they were all loving the relaxations and the strokes. And so it just kind of evolved from there.
What a wonderful story. And I know you speak of Minty having come with you and sat by your side, but she was a bit nervous. Could you talk a little bit about what she did when she first came to you and what happened how she became?
She kind of crept into the corner, and she actually would physically shake. Like we're lucky we're back onto a dog park where we live. And I'd kind of, encourage her to come out, but she wouldn't be too keen. And then kind of eventually she started coming a little further, but she'd just kind of stand on the rock and kind of look and just shake a little bit. And then yeah, it took a few weeks for her to come out of her shell. And now it's so funny because you would never for in a million years think that she was like that now. She literally springs through water. She loves kind of jumping like a kangaroo through the water, and she's Like this morning, she's a bit neat mischievous as well. She doesn't like her dog ball. She loves other people's dog balls, and then she managed to lose one someone else's this morning. Yes, but then kind of loved it all. And you know, she if there's a muddy puddle to be had, she'll just go straight into it and cover
Oh,
herself
bless her.
head to tail. But yeah, it just took initially that little bit of coaxing. But I think it wasn't really until we did go online and I did do the regular classes with her because I teach, you know, I was teaching maybe about 6 or 7 a week. So, you know, it's like a daily thing. And then obviously I do my own little practice too, and she loves that as well. But I think it was that I really noticed a big change after she started attending those classes and doing the regular relaxations.
I think that's remarkable.
Yeah.
That's really great.
Yeah, it
So,
is. It's gorgeous. Yeah.
I know she does, she likes to do the yoga moves with you. And what relaxation techniques really helped her? What were they? And does she have a favorite?
Yeah. Well, again, when I've done the baby massage and I've done some trainings from home, and it's just funny now because whereas before Minty wasn't allowed in the yoga studio, now it's like that's her domain. So if I ever do any face to face, because I tend to actually now teach outside of home, but when I do teach at home, it's like she's there. It's almost like she carries a dog mat or a yoga mat, you know, plunks it down and like, and then I did do a short course recently, and like she just, I have to say to people, I hope you're okay with dogs because you know, and she'll kind of like come up to people, lick their feet while they're in Shavasana, and then, oh yeah, what I do with her. So when I did the baby massage, you see a lot of the things we do with baby massage. Dogs love. So for example, what I do to begin is I put one hand on my heart center, one hand on my dog. Minty, come here. There we go. And I just do three ohms. Doesn't have to be three, it doesn't have to be too loud, just one maybe. So you just take a breath in and do and very, very simple. But when you do a long exhale like that, it helps you to extend the length of your exhalation. Most of us breathe in the top part of our chest. We also breathe very quickly. Whereas if we start to extend the length of that exhalation, especially when you start to use the voice in a low kind of tone like that, you start to come into the parasympathetic nervous system, which is your relaxation, initiates the relaxation response and helps you to feel calm and grounded. And so it immediately kind of helps you to kind of just let go a little bit. And if you've got one hand on your heart, one hand on your dog, and you're looking to your dog, they might not want to hold your gaze, but it's each dog's different, you know, as to what they like with that. And it just creates that connection. And it yeah, and you can then just do some breathing work, or you can just lay your hands on your dog. You can start to stroke your dog. Generally, strokes away from the heart are more relaxing. Strokes towards the heart a little bit more invigorating. And yeah, and so then I've put some of the strokes in peaceful pause. And I also work with acupressure points because I teach yin yoga and work on meridian lines. And some of the acupressure points are in different places with dogs, but they have the same effect. So there's some really lovely calming acupressure points that you can just gently, for example, there's yin tang, which is just with humans, it's just between the eyebrows and up a little bit. And then you just circle into that point. And it's a similar place with dogs. Minty, come here. And
Interesting.
yeah, there we go. So I know your listeners can't hear, but it's just this point here, which she just loves. She can see she's kind of licking me here. And then there's these points behind the ears, which you can massage. So yeah, just here. And this is
Wow.
yeah, gallbladder 20. So she instantly starts to relax and feel calm here. And with us, with humans, it's just behind, if we kind of get our thumbs. And we feel the bony ridge of the skull just below there. There's like these two little hollows that your thumbs kind of fit into.
Oh, the thumb.
That's, yeah, wind pull two, wind pull 20, sorry, that's a gallbladder 20. And that's a very relaxing, good for neck pain, good for insomnia, again, very calming. So yeah, just using those points, and gentle massages. And it's just a lovely way to connect with your dog, for them to feel relaxed, for you to feel relaxed. And then you start to get that lovely cloud of happy hormones and oxytocin and, just endorphins that just help you feel really kind of connected with one another and relaxed.
Right, right. And in your press release, you're making me very calm now. In your press release, you speak about Minty as having her own version of, now you have
Zavasa.
To Zavasa. Can you explain to us what Zavasa is and why it's so beneficial in yoga? And what is her behavior like when she enters into this relaxation or resting place?
Well, she's kind of pretty much there at the moment, actually, because I've done a little. Now she's not.
That's okay.
I'm just going to let her have a little wander out. That's the thing as well. You kind of really need to make sure that it's kind of on your dog's terms, not on your terms. It's a guide. So you're kind of seeing what mood your dog is in. So if you want to practice and it's obvious that your dog's not kind of into it, then, you know, you have to wait until your dog is ready, and they come to you. Shavasana is, that's a very classic. In fact, it looks like the easiest pose that you could ever do in yoga, because you're lying on your back. The English definition is actually corpse pose, which I know doesn't sound great, but the idea around it is that, is that you are perfectly still. So you're lying on your back. You've got your feet about turned out gently. Your legs are about hip distance apart. Your arms are lying on the ground. Your palms are facing up. Your chin is slightly in. Back of the neck is long. And then it's really nice because I do a restorative yoga. It's lovely to maybe put something under your knees, a blanket over you, eye pillow. You really make yourself nice and comfortable here. But the idea is that you want to be as still as possible. And you want to let your mind be still as well. So it's a relaxation, a deep relaxation position, basically. But yeah, Minty has a version of it. Obviously she's not lying on it. Well, actually, sometimes she does lie on her back. but yeah, she just kind of adopts a really relaxed kind of lying pose. And then you can see that she's kind of in this lovely, it's kind of like a hypnagogic state, which is between that sleep and being awake, this kind of dreamlike state where you're kind of deeply relaxed, but you know, you kind of do the odd little twitch and just kind of be in this haze of relaxation. So that's her Shavasana, and she gets there pretty quickly, actually, once, because that's the thing, the more you practice it, the easier it becomes to get into that lovely relaxed state. I was at the Sydney Dog Lovers Festival recently. It was really funny. It's a massive kind of expo, and I had a stall there for the book, and there were loads of people rushing through, and we could bring our dogs, stall holders could bring their dogs, and she just kind of was like out in front of the stall, like laid out, completely relaxed, you know, like had to make sure that people, you know, like there was a bit of a kind of circle around her so that, you know, they weren't stepping on her or anything. But yeah, she was just so chill. It was great.
Wow. So she was in a complete state of,
Shavasana. Well, the funny thing was, she was, because every hour or every so often, you know, I was regularly doing all these relaxation kind of strokes for her.
Sure.
And so she was kind of getting more and more kind of relaxed.
I personally feel that a pet doesn't necessarily need to be stressed or anxious to enjoy something like that. Can any of your techniques be used on other pets, like cats or rabbits, for example? Have you ever tried it?
Yes, yeah, well, definitely cats, because we have two cats here. That's a really good question. I would love to try. We used to have a rabbit actually, because we've always, that's the other thing, like I've always loved animals, and one of the magazines that I edited was called Pet Power over here in Australia. We only had a few editions, sadly, but I loved it. And at the time I was renting and I couldn't have animals, so the only animal I managed to sneak in was I had a guinea pig. So actually, I do know that I used to, it works on guinea pigs. And you know what? It does. It must work on rabbits, because I was actually, because I was doing all that work then. And then we
That's
moved,
funny.
then we were able to have a rabbit. So we had Buster. And and then we gradually then managed to get a dog, and then Minty, and and more cats and animals. But I really want to do the cat one, but I've got to get the that's my next project actually. But I've had a few people use the book for their cats, and they've had huge success as well. Cats are a little bit more obviously on their terms, but they've got these little favorite little spots that they might like to be kind of massaged in, and it's great because you start to really get to know your pet. You're observing them, you're reading their body cues, which is what we do with baby massage too. You know, it's that they're not able to verbalize exactly what they want, so we have to start to read what they want and be really attuned to that too. So it's really great practice.
Well, that's a wonderful connection, and that bond that you create between you and the dog, you know. But when you speak about calming acupuncture points, you obviously explain in your book where these points are. Can you give us a couple of examples of some of them?
Yeah, well, there's the yin tang, there's the one behind the ears, the gallbladder 20 point. There's another great one called Bahui. With humans, it's if you put the heel of your hand between your eyebrows and where your middle finger touches, it's the kind of very crown of the head. This is the point where we actually have the least circulation, and this is a really good point for us to just gently massage. But with dogs, it's actually on the low back. And get to a point just around the lower back and just massaging into that point. And don't worry if you don't get the exact point, because it's all along that whole area anyway. But yeah, just gentle little gentle pressure, circular. You can just rotate into that area, can just gently pulse into that area or just hold it. And then there's in the center of the chest for humans and for dogs, that's a really nice point there too, which is again very calming and grounding. And then with dogs, where the front of the legs meet the chest on both sides, there's little points there which are great. And
And how much pressure do you put on your finger when you're making that circular? Is it gentle pressure or what?
We always say gentle but firm, but again, you're kind of looking at your dog and seeing what, you know, if they are kind of obviously really, you know, as soon as we all hold tension, and the minute we start to relax, we kind of become a little bit heavier. And dogs do that too. You can kind of see that they kind of, oh, it's like a body sigh. And so again, it's kind of reading your dog and looking to see if they're giving you those engagement cues, like you know, a little bit of a tail wag, kind of they try to, and you get to know your dog, what they like, what they don't like. And obviously being near you, if they're moving away, they're obviously not in the mood at that point in time.
Yeah, that's so interesting about the dog's engagement cues that you can you recognize, then after a while, as you just said, you know, you can see that, and their body language, I guess, too. And do you mention this, all of this in the book?
There's a whole section on how to use the book, the benefits of doggy relaxation. Then there's kind of calming an active dog. So that's kind of all about centering. So it's important that we feel centered and relaxed, to do this with our pet, because they're going to pick up on our energy too. And I think that's half the reason dogs are so anxious, because, like, you know, we live in this crazy world that's so many pressures. But we know that, you know, we kind of feed off each other. So if we need to, so before each relaxation that I've written, there's a little mini human practice as well. So you feel relaxed and then you can kind of help to relax your dog and spend time with your dog. And then it's just you're both relaxing together. So it's just a really lovely thing to do with your dog.
Well, as a yoga teacher, what are the most challenging parts of what you do?
It's a good question. I'm just trying to think. I guess it's, you know, like, I guess going back to that, you need to kind of find the time that works for you both, you know.
Yeah.
And I had people say, oh, I can't do this because my dog's so busy or so active. But, you know, there are going to be times when you can. So it's finding that window. Yeah, it's normally something that your dog's probably going to be way too excited when they get up first thing in the morning, you know, so you might just adapt it, you know, you just need to learn how to kind of, maybe it's just that that's the time you can just do one on with your dog, or, you know, just a little bit of a nice big full body stroke from the head to the tail. And then you can go for a lovely big run or a walk. And then when your dog's kind of, our dogs sleep for about, most dogs sleep for about half the day. So you're going to find your time, but it's, yeah, finding that window that works for you both, really, you know. And I find that this is actually kind of lovely to do in the evening. So you can kind of like think of it like a little doggy bedtime story. So I've got 6 visualizations or dog relaxations. So they're little stories. So there's doggy dreams, there's mutts about meditation, there's the muddy puddle, you know, just like little stories that you take your dog
That's
on.
great.
Yeah, and it take 5 or 10 minutes, and you just kind of, you do your little centering, and then you read that to your dog, and you're using your tone of, I mean, obviously, although dogs have, they do recognize, the average dog has about 160 words that they know, and some really intelligent dogs can, you know, more, way more than that. But and I think dogs are way smarter than we ever give them credit for, generally, anyway.
Sure.
Yeah, so I think
they are.
Once we, and but they certainly pick up on our tone. So I, and the dogs, the one thing they really want is to spend more time with us as well, you know. They love that.
Definitely.
And then that connection. And I know that you had mentioned that you have online classes for humans. Do you have online classes for humans and their dogs as well?
Dogs are always welcome, yeah, to all
okay.
of the classes, of course. And I find as well, you know, that they like to kind of join in with what they want to join in with, you know. But I am doing a doga class. I've got a free online doga class. I'm not quite sure when this is going out, but it's quite soon, on September the 21st, but I'll put that up on my YouTube channel as well. So so there'll be a recording there. That'll be a half hour class you can just do anytime.
Wonderful.
And yeah, so I just I do them, I go to sort of dog events sometimes, and I'll do a little talk or a little demonstration, and people can join in with their dogs. But it does tend to be, that's kind of a little bit more fun and chaotic, whereas, you know, it's finding that window of time when you're at home, which is why
Do you
online.
find that they like it, when you do it once, that they want to do it again? Or, you know, like with Minty, you said she just wants to do it more and more often, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Because, I mean, it's a bit like us, you know, if we're something we've never done before, might be a bit like, you know, what's happening here? This is a bit strange, you know. But then if it starts to become part of their routine, they get used to it, and they're like, oh, this is really nice. It's time for relaxation, or, you know, yeah, a bit of a massage.
And your book, how can we order this beautiful book, Peaceful Pause?
Oh, thank you. It's peace. It's on my website, which is katiebrownyoga.com.
Okay.
And also, so it's on there, and it's on Amazon as well. And yeah, it's just Peaceful Pause Relaxations with Your Dog.
Okay.
And what sort of feedback have you received so far from the people who have tried your techniques?
Oh, that they love it, actually. And I've had some people say that they've bought it for their dog's birthday, which I thought was a really cute
That's
thing to do.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Make a thing for the dog's birthday. Oh, see, Minty's coming back in again now. So hello, come and join us. Yeah, so and I've had a lot of really good feedback from vets actually, and the integrative vet has talked about how she thinks it's an essential resource for canine well-being actually. Yeah, because it's kind of how we interact with our dog. And so yeah, I found that people have said that it's really helped calm their anxious dog as well. I had someone, a woman, yeah, say that she's got two rescues and the books really helped. And so now they've actually ordered some more because they have like a doggy daycare and they're finding that, you know, it's helping with all the dogs that they've
Oh,
got
isn't
there.
that
It's
wonderful?
wonderful.
What a
Yeah.
great, that is great. What a great resource this is.
Oh, thank
Great birthday gift it is for all the people I know.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. You've had your annual Christmas gift. You've
And
sorted out
Christmas
Christmas gifts as well this
and
year, yeah.
holidays coming up.
It's nice to give a dog something other than a ball or a treat, you
Yeah.
know?
Yes, you're
Yeah.
right. You're right.
And well, I have one final question for you. And we ask this of all our guests.
Yeah.
If you were an animal, what animal would you be and why?
Yeah, I actually see myself in Minty a lot. It's funny. I think we are drawn to the kind of a dog that we are. But yeah, it's yeah, kind of like 110% running, you know, but then completely collapsing afterwards. And yeah, so I think my spirit animal is an English Springer Spaniel. Although I have to say, I've always felt very drawn to cats. I do love cats as well.
Oh,
So
that's great. Yeah,
yeah.
so do I.
I know.
I
I know
like
they're.
all animals. Anna and I like all animals. So
Well, yeah, me too. It's so hard to choose, isn't it? But yeah, I must admit, cats just I just have so much admiration. They've got it nailed, haven't they? You know.
so do definitely.
Exactly,
They just get on
exactly.
with it and nothing
Yeah,
stops them.
get everyone to serve them, you know.
Oh,
Yeah.
yes, definitely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today,
Thank
Katie.
you,
It's been a real
Katie. Oh, it's been a
pleasure.
pleasure. Oh, it's lovely to see you and chat to you both and loving your podcast. So
We
thank
look
you.
forward to talking to you with you again soon.
I hope so. Yeah, take
Yeah.
care. Thanks.
Let us know when you write your cat the book about the cats, about
Cats. Yeah,
the
no, I will. Absolutely, yes.
Let us know. Yes.
Well, to all our loyal listeners, thank you once again for joining us. Remember to tune into all our podcast episodes on our website, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And can we ask you to share them on social media? The more joining us, the merrier. So until next time, everyone, take care.
Bye.